entitled 30 Days to Live. And last week we looked at this idea, this concept that we want to view life, we want to participate in life as if we've only had 30 days to live. We want to see life and do life through the lens that our time is short, because the truth is, our time on this planet is short. Whether our expiration date is lasts long into your 70s and 80s or before, our life is considered short, just a breath. And my desire for this series is to change your life, to change your perspective on how you make decisions, how you make choices, and what you choose as a priority in your life every single day. I want you to ask yourself the question, how would my life be different if I only had 30 days to live? If I knew how brief it really is. The passage that encapsulates our whole series, it comes out of Psalm chapter 39, and it covers in verse 4 and 5. It says this, "Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered and that my life is fleeing away. My life is no longer than the width of my hand. An entire lifetime is just a moment to you. Human existence is but a breath." And we realized and we looked at the fact that life goes quickly, that time doesn't stop for any of us. That life continues on. We just reminisced this morning about how we're halfway done the year already. Crazy, okay? VBS is 2 weeks away. That's ridiculous. Time moves quickly. The older you get, so people say, the faster it goes. And if we understood the truth of that, we would live out our lives. We would walk differently. We would make different choices. And so today, as we start here, this morning, I want us to pray the very first part, the very first line in that passage together, out loud. I want us to say, to remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Let's say it together. Ready? Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. I want that to be your prayer. Not just lip service, but how you orient your heart, how you make decisions in this life. I found this Instagram image. It came across my feed the other day, and I thought it was perfect for what we talked about last week. And I shared it on the Crossroad page. It says, "Don't ever save anything for a special occasion. Being alive is the special occasion." This important, pithy truth really speaks volumes to what we talked about last week, living in the moment. Making every moment count and understanding that every breath that you have been given is a blessing from God and we need to make the most of it. Today we're going to talk about living for eternity. I'm going to ask an important question of us all. And I want my message today to really to affect you deeply. In a deep way, in the very core of your being. And the question I want to ask that we're going to answer today, this challenging question, is where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Is it in the things of this world or is it in the things of heaven? Jesus is teaching in Matthew chapter 6 and says this, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Now, what Jesus is talking about here in a very broad sense is don't place your best, don't place your most desirable, don't put your best foot forward when it comes to things that do not last. Don't put all of your effort and your energy and your focus, don't let your life be about treasures that are on earth, things that will just burn up in the end and go away. Make sure the things that we're putting our focus on are things that we can take with us, spiritual things, faith, godly duties, As Drew always says, you've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You've never seen a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You can't take it with you. Your stuff that you have here, you could have a garage full of stuff. And when you pass away, it's still going to be a garage full of stuff. And you won't be benefiting from any of it. Your kids and grandkids will have to sort through it, all right? A man was so in love with his money that he put it all in a briefcase. And his wife said, what are you doing? He said, honey, I'm putting my money in a briefcase. I'm putting this briefcase in the attic. And when I die, I'm going to go to heaven and I'll grab it on my way up. Sure enough, a few years later, he did die. His wife went up to the attic, and sure enough, there was his money right there where he'd left it. She said, I told him he should have put it in the basement. If you didn't laugh yet, think about it for another couple seconds, and you will. All right? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What do you value most in your life? What do you put your best into? Those are the things that you value. That is what your heart will drift toward. Though that will be the reason you make certain decisions. What is your treasure this morning? The word treasure in the Greek is the Greek word thesauros. And thesauros means a deposit or wealth. It is not necessarily talking about cash or money, although that's certainly applicable translation. But where are you putting your best energy, your wealth or your resources, your time? Where are you putting your time? If you would make a line graph or a circle graph, a pie graph of your time, what would be the biggest chunk of it? Are you depositing your best things into things that don't last? Or are you depositing your best into eternal things? In your bulletin today on the insert, you could check off yours for yourself. Really consider that question. Am I storing up my treasure in heaven? Or am I storing up my treasure on earth? Where is your treasure? Look at the last 7 days. Look at this past week. Were you more focused on things that don't last forever? Buying things we don't need with money we don't have? Or are you focused on the eternal things? Matthew continues in that same chapter of 6, verse 33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. It's all right to have things. God says he will bless us with things. He will bless us with resources. But the issue is you can't seek them first. We need to seek what lasts forever. We need to seek what lasts forever. It is not wrong to have those things. But where is the priority in your life? Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, if you put Jesus Christ as the priority, then all of those things that you want will fall into place. If you put healing your marriage as your priority, but Jesus isn't the top, if Jesus isn't in the picture, then you'll be doing it on your own strength, and I think you'll most likely fail. But if you put Jesus first, guess what? Your marriage will start to heal. If both of you are putting Jesus first, your marriage will begin healing. Insert anything there. If you put your kids for raising your kids first, if you dote over your kids and take care of them, first priority in life, but Jesus isn't the first thing, eventually Jesus moves down to number 3 or number 4, he may get left in the dust. But I promise you, if you put Jesus Christ first in your life, your kids will be great. Your kids will be raised and have the right firm foundation. They will have the correct outlook on life because you put your relationship with Jesus Christ as your priority. Family should be like butting up right under Jesus, okay? God, Jesus, family, all right? But Jesus still needs to come first. I guarantee you that your treasure won't be on this earth if we realize how brief our life is. As we started this series, we're going to continue to look and look at and hear from people that have a short amount of time left to live. They're dealing with an end-of-life time frame. And it's heartbreaking, but we can learn something from them. And that's what my focus and my direction is, because I really struggled, actually, today specifically, especially the second video, as you'll see, showing these videos, because they're truly heartbreaking. It's a very emotional thing to hear the things they're going through, but the importance and the focus of this is to understand their impetus, their reason for doing what they do, their most important thing for them where they're at, because they know their expiration date. They've come to terms with and realized that life is short. And for them, they know we oftentimes go through life and we have no concept of it. We ignore it or we forget about it until there's a death in the family or someone is diagnosed with something, and then we come to terms with our mortality. They're faced with a very real situation because they've come to the end of their life, and the people that we look at, they have Christ as their rock and their firm foundation. And so they're coming at it from a very biblical, healthy perspective. Today we're going to talk to Larry, and he was a normal, healthy male until he was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. It's very difficult to understand him at first. And I encourage you to pay close attention. Pay close attention to his words, because sometimes he's hard to understand as he's been losing the ability to control his muscles and that sort of thing. So this video scarred me. It moved me. And I will never forget the things he has to say. I encourage you to burn his perspective on your heart and understand what Psalm 39 is truly saying. My life is but a breath.
And then in February and March of 2005, I was diagnosed with ALS. And literally, August, or that time you could say, is one life. And then since I was diagnosed with ALS, is a completely different life. My dreams before I got sick with ALS included, you know, being able to provide for my family, walking my daughters down the aisle, seeing my kids grow up, owning a fancy Mustang. You know, I had some material dreams. Since the January of 07, I've lost the ability to feed myself, clothe myself, bathe myself. You really can't say, you know what, this day I lost this or this day I lost, because it's kind of gradual. You lose it and then you can try to do it, but then one day you just wake up and your body won't allow you to do that. So I'm pretty much considered a quadriplegic now. I'm completely dependent on everybody for everything.
How easily we who are healthy, who can take care of ourselves, lose that eternal perspective that Larry is forced to have. Not forced, it's his choice. But he has gained this perspective of what is really important, what is really significant in his life. And it's so easy for us to focus and hold on to the stupid things, things that will pass away. Today, I want to make three internal promises, three things I hope you will commit to as you understand the idea that our life is fleeting. The very first one is that I will guard. I promise that I will guard against materialism. I will guard against materialism, putting stock in the things of this world, relying on, putting our faith in things of this world. Luke 12, 15, Jesus gives us this warning, watch out. He says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. Watch out, your life is not your car. Your life is not your home, your clothing, your things. Some of you say, I understand that. I know that. But do your actions really mimic that belief? Do your actions, do the choices that you make with your money and your lifestyle mimic the idea that these things aren't important to me? What is the American dream? It's to have a starter home. I'd never really heard that terminology before. Like you buy a home thinking you're going to sell it someday? It just didn't make sense to me. I lived in the same house my entire life. I didn't really understand that concept. But this idea of a starter home and then a better home, and someday you have a dream home. The Property Brothers will build my dream home and it'll be perfect. JoJo and Chip will build my dream home and it'll be perfect. I'll have 14 acres of land and four-wheelers everywhere. I don't know what your dream home looks like. Shack in the woods with no one around. 40 minutes to the nearest Walmart. I don't know what your dream home is. That doesn't sound like a dream to me, by the way. Well, I'm going to forge my own destiny by my bare hands. Have a perfect kitchen, jacuzzi bathtub, huge closet. You can do laps in it and get exercise running around your own closet. 3 or 4 car garage, maybe a boat. You say, oh, when I have these things, I'll finally be happy. Then I can rest easy. Or maybe it's a different location. Maybe when I move here, then life will be all perfect and right. I'll know that I've made it. If you've said things like that, perhaps you need a bit of a heart check. What are you striving for in this life? Where are your priorities truly at? Those are good goals to have in and of themselves, but is that really why you're doing what you're doing? Is that your motivation? Is that your impetus? Because you're really striving for things that are going to pass away, that are not going to last. We need to protect ourselves from that mindset. It's so easy to say, I'm going to work really hard and do really and earn lots of money so I can buy things and support my family, so I can have things, so I can give the most impressive gifts at Christmas. But we forget that we're the best thing that God can give to our families. Greater than houses, greater than wealth, greater than vacations. You are the best thing God has given for your family. And so often we neglect our families trying to provide the things that don't even last, that aren't eternal. The foundation of our faith, your kids' faith, grandkids, establishing boundaries. These are the things that are eternal. These are the things that are important. These are the things that in 100 years, they will still last. These are the things that will continue to have an impact. In the Bible, in Luke chapter 12, you see the parable of the rich fool is known as. There's this farmer, he was, and in those days, that culture, farming was the epitome of some of the richest people were farmers. They worked the land and they had great benefits and they sold the things they had. The cows that they owned and the horses that they owned, they were valuable. They were like assets, right? And this guy was extremely successful. 1 year, he planted his crop. He had a huge harvest and it filled up his storehouses, his silos and his barns. And he had so much left over. He said, wow, I've sure been blessed here. I'm going to keep all of it and build. I'm going to tear my barns down, build bigger barns so I can store it all. And then when I'm old, then I'll be able to sit back and relax. When I have all my stuff, when I get to a certain point, I'll be able to just take it easy because I have so much stuff. Verse 20 and 21 says this, but God said to him, you fool. This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Jesus said, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God. Is God against saving and planning and storing for the future? No. No, no, no. That's not what this parable is saying. But he is against pride. You see, this rich fool, he said, hey, did all this great work. I planted all these seeds. Look what my hands have brought up out of the ground. I'm going to save all of this for me, 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 because I deserve it. And that pride kept him from being generous, kept him from giving what he should. If the man knew that he only had one day to left, he wouldn't have stored all that extra grain. He would have given it away. He would have said, hey, there's a sale on grain at my place. Come on over. If his neighbor would have been in need, he could have given him that grain. That is what matters. That is serving the kingdom. That is doing things that have eternal impact. But saving, saving, saving just so I can enjoy myself, that's not eternal impact. That's not eternal impact. Watch out, Jesus says. This is an easy trap to fall into. If you only had 30 days to live, all these things that we're pursuing, I bet they wouldn't matter much of anything. The second promise I think we need to make to ourselves, being under the understanding that life is short, is that I will be generous. I will be generous, radically generous, aggressively generous, extravagantly generous. Instead of holding on to everything, we see everything as God's and ask Him, how do you want me to use it? Instead of keeping it to myself, we say, God, how can I use what you have given me now? Not just money, but our stuff, our resources, our time, our heart, our words, our attention, our focus, our very lives should be given out as an offering to who God is. Everything about us should scream, Jesus Christ died for me. My life is not of this world. I have an eternal agenda. Do the decisions you make with your money or your time, your heart, the things that you care about, your words, do they say, I have an eternal agenda? But why do we give? Why do we have this eternal agenda? Because very simply, love gives. Love gives. John 3:16 says, for God so that he gave his one and only son. He gave his very best. He gave it all. He left the glories of heaven, came to this earth, and gave up his life so that we could have it, so that we could have life. He loved, and so his only natural response is that he gave. He gave of his power. He gave of his time. He gave physically. Love gives. Do you have kids? Do you love giving things to them? Or do you love holding back and saying, nope, you don't get that? If they see a toy at the store, do you want to say, oh, sure, I can get that for you? Or do you want to say, nope, you can't have that? Part of you, I mean, you might know you can't afford it or they don't deserve it, but part of you still says, I really want to give you that toy, okay? Part of you wants to give. You want to be generous. Why? Because you love them. You show your love by giving. Maybe not just stuff, but by giving your time, by giving your affection, by giving your heart. Your kids love you, and so they make you a noodle heart on a piece of paper using glue. They've given because they love. You cannot love without giving. You have a significant other? Do you like to give them stuff? Yes. Yes, you give them your time. You give them your attention. You give them your service when you do the dishes without being asked. Whatever. Don't look at me, Bethany. Don't look at me that way, okay? You give them from Zales, from Hallmark, from the dollar store. I don't know where you shop. You give stuff because you love. People say, I don't understand churches. All they do is talk about giving. Yeah. Do you think it's ours? I don't want you to give me your money. I want you to give the church God's money. Right? I don't want you to give of your money. I want you to give of God's money because you understand that it's not yours and it's God's. And when you give, you are showing your love. I want you to give of your time and serve God, because it's not your time. It's God's time. I want you to give of your stuff and donate those resources to VBS, because it's not your stuff. If we understood that it's God's and not ours, if we understood how short this time, our time on this earth is, we would be more willing to be generous with what we have. Jesus Christ came and he gave his all. He gave his life. And so we give our lives back. It is the only responsible response to what Jesus Christ did for us. If you've got a problem with that, I would say you have a problem in your heart. I would even draw the line and say that if you don't give to God, you don't love God. If you don't give to God, you don't. How can you love God and not give to him? Your time. I'm not just talking money. That's part of it, because it shows that if you don't give God money, what's the priority, God or money? Your money, because you want to keep it all. You understand? If you don't give, you do not love. If you don't give your heart, your desires to God, do you love God? If you don't give your time to God, do you really, truly love him? You cannot love and not give. Love prompts a giving, generous response. People that are dying, they give everything away. Well, I remember after my grandmother died, my grandfather, he didn't save anything. I'm not sure how responsible that was, but every time we came to his house, there was a new TV. Why? Not for him, because so we could enjoy it. He would go all out at Christmas and get you the biggest, bestest things. Why? Because he wanted to see our look on our faces when we opened it and not be around to enjoy that joy that we had in receiving the gift. He wanted to enjoy his money and his stuff now, because he realized, he came to a point in his life where he realized how temporary this life really is. And so he used those moments to bring joy to his family and not save it all up so they could have money to remember him by in the future. He wanted to use it and do it now. He was being generous. The best kind of giving, the best kind of generosity you can do is to give to people in need. Jesus was preaching and said, "One day there will be people on both sides. Those who knew me and those who didn't. And I'll say to those who knew me this in Matthew 25, 33. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. And the people, and we'll be confused and be like, Jesus, this is the first time I'm meeting you in person. I've never given you anything to drink before. And he'll reply this in verse 40. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. We need to give to those who need it most. We need to give to those who need it most, because it is a sign of the change that has taken place on the inside. When we give, it's a sign that your heart has been changed. It is a sign of our salvation. How would your life be different today if you recognized how brief it was? Would you make more generous decisions in your life, reflecting a heart of God? It's what he desires. It's what's important. Not storing it up for myself, but giving it away to bless others. Thirdly and finally, I will focus on what matters. Too often we don't do this. It is too often we focus on things that don't matter. It's those little things that just irk us and get under our skin. Train crossing slows you down, and all of a sudden, it's the end of the world. Bang on your dashboard, throw a few choice words out there, maybe. I can't remember how many times I can count a couple times, maybe on one hand. But I was in a rush, I was going somewhere, I was late, and sure enough, there's like a 20-car train driving in front of me right where I need to go to get to where I'm going. And you can't predict it. It teaches you patience. But it's like, Why, God? You know, have mercy on me. Car cuts you off in traffic. The stock market drops. You feel that pain of your investments cringing and going down. Someone spills something on your brand new sweater. The thing you want is not on sale. Your coupon expired yesterday. We get so worked up and so upset over these little things that are extremely insignificant. They do not matter squat in the long run. Most of what we get riled up on, these first world problems, they don't matter. In the grand scheme of things, they do not matter one bit. What matters? People matter. People are always going to matter. The people you're sitting next to right now, your kids, your children, your parents, whether you get along with them right now or not, they matter. Your neighbors, your coworkers, no matter how annoying they are, no matter how much they get under your skin, they matter. Your old high school classmates, your workout buddies at the gym, those who don't know Christ and those who do, people in need, they matter. There is eternal significance in giving them your time, in giving them your energy, in giving them your money and your attention and your focus. There is eternal significance in there. When you serve at VBS this summer, in 2 weeks, and you serve little kids and you help them make a craft, or you tell them about Jesus and the Bible story, it's eternal significance. If you serve at the Awakening and on Montage and you give people a flyer, or shake their hand and welcome them in the door, when you set up bagels downstairs or greet people at the door, there is eternal significance in what you are doing. It is not temporary. You are storing your treasures in heaven, not on earth. It's not about you. It's not about how good you look or what you are doing to glorify who you are. You are giving of yourself on the things that are important, the things that matter, the things that will last 100 years from now, the things that are eternal. We are storing our treasures in heaven. The things that are important are Jesus, his truth. Generosity matters. Helping those that are without, showing the love of Jesus matters most of all. Why is it that we so easily focus on the things that don't matter and ignore the things that do? We forget about, they're not even in our mind, things that are truly important in our life. Paul was coming to the end of his life. He had if I had 30 days to live, experience. He was in prison, and he knew, he understood that his time was coming to a close. The Holy Spirit had given him this idea, this feeling, this inkling, this word, and Paul knew his time on this planet was short. And so if you had to ask him, you know, if you had 30 days to live, because he did, not specifically 30 days, but you understand, what would you say, Paul? What would you say? I think he tells us in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 8. It says this, and this is powerful. Paul says, if I had 30 days to live, whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Jesus Christ. Whatever I've earned, whatever I've gained, whatever I've stored up for myself, it's all loss. I can't take it with me. What is more, verse 8, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish that I may gain Christ. Everything that I've lost, everything that I've sacrificed, they are rubbish. Now, Paul was getting a little riled up here. He's using some pretty strong language. And if you translate that word rubbish in the Greek, it translates to skubalon. And skubalon means what is thrown to the dogs, refuse, or dung. And no translator, no scholar, no studier of the scriptures would translate this word to its actual meaning, because it's bleeped out in most daytime television shows. This word dung is actually a much stronger word. If there were bumper stickers back then, one would say, Scubalone happens. You get my drift here? This is serious stuff. Paul says, everything I've lost, everything I've sacrificed, it's all crap. It doesn't matter. It is refuse. It is thrown out. It is unusable. It doesn't matter. The only thing in my life that I have ever worked for that means anything is my getting closer to who Jesus Christ is. The things in my life that have brought me closer to Jesus, that is what is what was has been important. The money that I've earned, all those donations that the tent makers made in funding my ministry, they have done awesome things for who God is. But that money, it will pass away. It will be lost. The only thing that matters is Jesus Christ. Compared to his greatness, everything is scubalone. God, may our treasures not be in this world, but in the things that last forever. We're going to talk to Larry one last time. And just so you know, there are tissues at the end of every aisle. You can get them right now if you want. If this next part doesn't rip your heart out, you might want to just take your fingers, put them right here on your wrist. Just make sure you have a pulse, all right? Because I almost didn't show it. Because I don't want to emotionally manipulate you into feeling anything. But his words, the things that he speaks, and what his truth that he's experiencing in this end-of-life situation, it's powerful. It is heartbreaking, but it is powerful because he can understand, and he is regretting not putting this into place earlier in his life. I don't want to ruin any more for it. Let's hear what Larry has to say.
For the next 30 days, I would want my spiritual life to be one that people can look upon and say, there is somebody who believed God, believed that he knew God was doing what was best for him. There is somebody who's family knows they're loved because, not only because I love them, but because God loves them, because I have shown them how to love and how to love God. And I hope that people can see that when they meet me. Since I was diagnosed, I had a lot of regrets. There were times where I felt like, oh, I know, like, I could have been a better husband. Instead, I was a very selfish person. I regret being, you know, always thinking of myself first. Instead of my wife and my kids sometimes when it came to work. There's no job, if I were to get healthy today, there's no job, no amount of money that would keep me from my family like I used to stay away. There's no sporting event that would keep me away from my family. That's probably my biggest regret. At whatever campus you're at, don't look at life as a series of hardships over finances. Look at life as, how can I take one step today to be closer to God than I was yesterday? You know, Maureen, I don't think there is anything that I haven't already told you. I love you. I know you love me. My biggest regret is that this illness has caused a lot of emotional pain for you, but I do know that we have grown as a couple, and that I love you, and that I hope one day, even after I'm gone, you can find somebody who loves you as much as I do now.
First John 2:17 says, "The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever." Today, I want us to understand this truth to the very core of our being. Life is short. And if we live our lives with that knowledge and that understanding, we will be generous. We will focus on what matters. We will guard against loving our things and our stuff too much. Because when it comes right down to it, those things pass away. They're scuba loan. Things that matter are the things that will get us closer to God, that will encourage others to grow closer to God, because that is the eternal impact that we make. That is what is important. And if we made our life decisions, if we made our choices around that concept, how would that change the decisions that you make, the direction that your steps take, the way that you spend your money, the way that you spend your time, the things that you really pour your whole heart into in this life? If we judged it around, if I only had 30 days left to live, I promise you, you'll make a better decision. I promise you it'll change aspects of your life you haven't even thought needed changing. But if we put God and Jesus Christ as the priority, what changes do you have to make? Let's bow our heads this morning. If you realize this morning that your treasure is on earth, I want to ask you to evaluate what are things that you need to do to shift your treasure towards heaven. The most clear-cut answer to that is our second point today, and that is live a life of generosity. If you know that your life revolves around money too much, you find yourself concerned, consumed by this idea of money, give it away. I promise you it'll change your aspect. It'll change your thinking on the subject. If your life has been focused on gaining stuff or having more nicer things, give it away. Be generous with your time. If your life is too focused on how can I please myself, how can I be having fun in this situation, give your time away. Commit it to an organization or to a person or to people. Generosity is the cure for selfishness. Where does God want you to become more generous? What are you focusing on that doesn't really matter? Or what are you neglecting that truly matters? And what are you going to let God do in your life to change you? We can take steps in the right direction and make steps of faith. God wants us to do that, but we have to rely ultimately on God to do the changing in our life. What has taken us far away from where you want us to be, God? Father, we come before you today, repentant, humble before you, Lord. Lord, we lay down our desires and our hopes and our dreams because we want them to line up with you, with your word, with your will and your plan for us. Lord, whatever is in our lives that keeps us from getting closer to you, I pray that we would have a heart and tear it down. Because we don't know how much time we have left to tear that thing down. And when it comes to the end, the only regret is things that we had or did that came between us and you. Lord, I pray that you would change our hearts, change our perspective on life. Lord, the things that we do, the decisions that we make, will be based on how close they are getting me to you and your plan. Lord, help us to put you first above our families, because we know that when we focus on you and your love, our families will be well taken care of. You will encourage us to take better care of our families, to act selflessly to our families and to our loved ones. But if we try to do it on our own, we will fail and we will fall short. You need to be the focus. Be the focus of our lives. Pray that you would refocus us as we go. Bless us today in your name. Amen. Amen. May your treasures be in heaven this week. May you be focused on the things of God. I love you guys.